Now let's read God's Word together in the Acts of the Apostles. Now we've been working our way through the Acts of the Apostles in recent weeks, but we're flipping back now to Acts chapter 3 and verse 1, which can be found on page 1094 in the Pew Bible. Acts 3 at verse 1. And there we read that one day Peter and John were going up to the temple at the time of prayer at 3 PM. Now a man crippled from birth was being carried to the temple gate called Beautiful, where he was put every day to beg from those going into the temple courts. When he saw Peter and John about to enter, he asked them for money. Peter looked straight at him, as did John. Then Peter said, "Look at us." So the man gave them his attention, expecting to get something from them. Then Peter said, "Silver or gold I do not have, but what I have I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk." Taking him by the right hand, he helped him up, and instantly the man's feet and ankles became strong. He jumped to his feet and began to walk. Then he went with them into the temple courts, walking and jumping and praising God. When all the people saw him walking and praising God, they recognized him as the same man who used to sit begging at the temple gate called Beautiful. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. Thanks be to God for his word, and may he give us grace to lay hold on his truth.
Well, it truly is an awesome privilege to be with you this morning and to share in God's word the power and the authority that's given to those who call Christ their own personal saviour. This last week we've been blessed here in St. Paul's and in Mulgai as the church have been hosting the MEF exhibition. Every picture tells a story. And when we look at our lives tell a story. When we read through our Bible, when we delve into the pages of Scripture, it conjures up in our mind a whole gallery of pictures, images that come right across our vision and allow us to experience what it must have been like for these people living in biblical times. Every picture tells a story. Every picture tells a unique story. Every picture gives us a great insight to what God wants for our lives, and also what he doesn't want in our lives. And in our passage this morning in Acts chapter 3, Luke pens these words, "One day." I think that's fascinating. One day. Nothing particularly special or unique. It was one day just like any other. One day. What are your one days like? Does one day just roll into another with nothing great and significant happening that sets it apart from any other day? Do you get stuck in the routine and the ruts of the mundane day-to-day lifestyles? You do the same thing each day at the same time with the same people in the same places. There's nothing that really sets you apart. There's nothing that defines you as an individual. You just become one of a crowd. We have this aspect of being sheep where we just follow one another around. We get caught up in fashions and schemes and initiatives that detract us from what God really wants in our lives. God wants our one days to be unique, extraordinary days, special days, that we are so excited about what God's going to do in our lives, what God's going to do through our lives. And this is a picture here that Luke paints. One day. And he tells us a story here of Peter and John heading up to the temple. And there's so much contained in these short 10 verses. One day. They were going up to the temple. at the time of prayer at 3 p.m. And the culture and the custom at the time in the Jewish community was they would go to the temple 3 times a day. And this is quite possibly the 3rd time that day. There was a routine and a structure in their life, but the routine and the structure was directed by their love of God, that they wanted to go and worship and praise with like-minded individuals. That's why we come to church. We gather together as like-minded individuals to come and to praise and to worship God. And that's what makes our one days special, which makes our one days unique and memorable. That every opportunity that we get, whether it's individually or collectively, to come together and worship and praise God. And if we can do that, then we get to know who God is. We enter into that more deeper, meaningful and intimate relationship that we begin to think as God does, as he pours more of his character into our lives through these one day experiences. And if we can do that, then we can impact the lives of others and whom we come into contact with. But we have a role to play. God is not going to force us into that position. God is not going to come and say, you must do this, you must do the next thing. We have to enter willingly into that relationship. We have to turn our backs on everything that the world wants to draw us into. All these trends and fashions and schemes that the world tell us will make us better people. We have to willingly turn our back in that and accept the things of God that won't perish and won't fade and won't dim. And that's what makes our one days extraordinary days. And this picture that Luke is painting here has a whole technicolour that we just begin to understand when we delve deeper into it. Now, a man crippled from birth has been carried to the temple gate called Beautiful, for he was put every day. You see, that was his one day. He went and sat outside the temple. Culturally, he was the lowest of the low, the unclean, the outcast, set apart from the rest of society, unacceptable to those who were going to the temple. So he sat on the outside, but he was carried each and every day to beg for his daily bread. You see, that was his one day, his routine, his mundane existence. It didn't change, it didn't get any better, but maybe it didn't get any worse either. It was almost a condition there that he was happy and content with his lot. Happy and content living with a disability, been looked over by society, not been accepted in the temple courts, unclean, unacceptable. But the picture that Jesus paints of creation and the acceptance that God wants to bring those who are made in God's image into that intimate relationship includes people like the beggar, includes people from different cultural backgrounds, from different nations and societies. But the beggar didn't see and didn't appreciate. And those who would go to the temple wouldn't even break their stride as he was begging there for just a few coins to buy his daily bread. The people would walk into the temple, they wouldn't even cast a glance at the beggar, and if they were suitably motivated, would drop a copper or two. They wouldn't break their stride, they wouldn't even engage the gaze of the man there, because he was lower than them, unacceptable. But all of a sudden, Peter and John, but the beggar was there. You can imagine them huddled up in a little ball with his bowl in front of him, fearful of catching the gaze of those who were going to the temple. But he was observant. He could see the people. He could see the people. And he seen Peter and John walking towards him, walking purposefully to come to the temple to worship God. And then something quite extraordinary happened. This beggar's one day was going to turn into something quite extraordinary, because Peter and John decided to stop and to make a difference, to do something that was culturally unacceptable, to do something that just was unheard of. to engage with the beggar. When he saw Peter and John about to enter, he asked them for money. And Peter looked straight at him. You can just imagine. This beggar had been carried there every single day. And all of a sudden, somebody engaged his gaze. Peter looked straight at him, as did John. Then Peter said, "Look at us." An invitation for that engagement. So the man gave them his attention, expecting to get something from them. And this was in a situation where day in and day out, he may have just got one or two small coins, enough to buy some bread and wine for the day. But somebody had stopped, somebody had engaged him, and he must have thought, whoa, birthday and Christmas rolled into one here. I'm going to get quite a handful of money for these guys. They've stopped, they've engaged, they must really see my need, and they're going to really make a huge, huge difference. You can imagine his heart beating with anticipation, with excitement, and oh, you're a beauty, here we go. And then the bombshell. Silver or gold I do not have. You can imagine he's thinking in his mind, well, what on earth have you stopped and spoken to me for? You've built me up, you're expecting to just give me all these things, and then you just tell me you don't have any money. He says, I've spent time here engaging with you, and all these other folk have walked by you and headed into the temple. I could have been begging from those. Why have you wasted my time? Silver or gold you do not have. But you know something? It goes on. Silver or gold I do not have, but what I have I give you in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. You see, everything that anybody needs cannot be purchased by any amount of money. What Jesus brings into anyone's life is salvation, is forgiveness for sins. But for people to be confronted with that truth, then we have to get in front of them. We have to spend time engaging them. We have to be prepared to step outside their comfort zone and engage with the lowly beggars, to get down to where they are. Look at them straight in the eye and tell them about the love of God, that Jesus went to the cross at Calvary so that they could engage in a personal, intimate relationship where they could experience salvation for the forgiveness of sins, that they could have their place in heaven secured, irrespective of their infirmity. Peter and John accepted that individual as a man made in the image of God. And that's exactly what he's asking of us too. To accept people made in the image of God. And as we see people like that, all of a sudden opportunity abounds. And if we're prepared and committed and bold enough, we can walk into these opportunities and see people's ordinary mundane days turn into extraordinary, glorious days. That's the responsibility that rests on our shoulders. We have been told, we also have been equipped. And the one thing that Peter and John gave him was the very thing that had been given them. In Acts chapter 1, in verse 6 it says, "So when they met together, they asked him, 'Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel?' He said to them, 'It's not for you to know the times or the dates that the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth.'" That is the power and the authority that Jesus has given to each and every one of us to go and make a difference in people's lives. We can only give to what people require through what God has given to us through the Holy Spirit. We cannot save anybody. We cannot give anyone salvation. Only Jesus working in and through us into the lives of those we come across. But it's interesting when he says here, in Jerusalem, your hometown, and then in all Judea, countrywide, and then into the neighbouring nation of Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. We are his witnesses. We tell people what Jesus has done in our lives so that we can tell them that that can be the same for theirs, only if we're prepared to engage with them. And then they did something quite unique as they accepted this man made in God's image. Taking him by the right hand, he helped him up, and instantly the man's feet and ankles became strong. This crippled beggar was an outcast, the lowest of the low, the unclean. And they had the audacity to reach down and touch him. This unclean outcast, someone that wasn't even accepted inside the temple, and they reached down with the right hand and elevated him to a position of parity with themselves. We are no better than anyone, irrespective of position in society. But the right hand is significant. The right hand is a hand of acceptance, of fellowship. And the reason they used the right hand is they accepted this individual as an individual made in God's image. They didn't proffer the left hand. The left hand was used for bodily functions long before we invented an Andrex puppy. That's what we have to do. We have to accept people where they're at so that Jesus can deal with them where they're at and lift them from the lowly position that society has placed them in into that glorious and amazing position beside God for an eternity. But the interesting thing is here that Peter and John engage with a single individual. But in the previous chapter, God used Peter also to preach the word practically into the lives of people. When he did it in chapter 2, and in excess of 3,000 people came to faith. And all of a sudden you can think, oh, Peter, he's this wonderful evangelist. God will use him mightily to draw thousands upon thousands of people into relationship with God. But here was Peter, 3,000 this day and an individual the next, so to speak. It's not about the pats on the backs from men, for we go out there and see thousands of people coming to faith. People come to faith one at a time as individuals. And whether we're speaking to a church full of hundreds or to the beggar outside the shop, we have to make sure that the message is same, it's consistent, so that people understand that God Himself wants that intimate personal relationship. These are great stories, great pictures, but often in the pages of Scripture there's a sting in the tail, and this passage is no different. Taking him by the right hand, he helped him up, and instantly the man's feet and ankles became strong. He jumped to his feet and began to walk. Then he went with them into the temple courts. Could you imagine the look of disgust by all these people that were in this temple to praise God? Those people who were acceptable in society. And they seen this crippled beggar, quite possibly filthy, quite possibly stinking. And he was invited by Peter and John into the temple. And amongst these people he'd been begging from for years, 3 times a day. But the thing was, he went into the temple, walking and jumping and praising God. You see, when God chooses to use us to reach into the people's lives who are in no relationship with Him, it's not us that look for the pats on the back or the plaudits or the congratulations. The glory should always be directed back to God. Irrespectively, if it's 3,000 people or one individual. This individual knew that in his heart that Peter and John had been used by God, but it was a power and the authority that came through them into his life. Therefore, he praised God as he walked into the temple courts. When all the people saw him walking and praising God, they recognized him as the same man who used to sit begging at the temple gate called Beautiful. They recognized him. They understood who he was. But for years they had done absolutely nothing about it. They salved their conscience by dropping a copper or two in a begging bowl. but done nothing about the condition of his soul. They threw the coin and continued on their way, not breaking a stride. We can make differences in people's lives if we stop and break our stride and get alongside them, acknowledge them as individuals, individuals made in God's image. The amazing thing was, is these people inside the temple recognised them but done absolutely nothing about his soul's condition. When they saw him, they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. Why were they filled with wonder? Why were they filled with amazement? Did they not believe in the power and the authority that God had given them to reach into the lives of those less fortunate than themselves? Didn't they believe and trust that God could do miracles? Didn't they believe that this God they'd come to the temple to worship was a God of authority, of sovereignty, of majesty, who could do anything? Or were they going along to the temple three times a day, looking at it as a social club, an opportunity to catch up in the local gossip and what the latest fashion trends were? Were they going just to be seen to be seen? If they were going to praise and worship God, and if they were going to avail themselves of that power that God offers freely to those who call on his name as Saviour, then they would have seen this crippled beggar's life been changed way before Peter and John had made an appearance. The interesting thing is, as Scripture tells us, that we can do exactly what Jesus was doing. In John chapter 14, I tell you the truth, anyone who has faith in me will do what I have been doing. He will do even greater things than this, because I am going to the Father, and I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Son may bring glory to the Father. You may ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it. Maybe there was a lack of trust and understanding of who God was in relation to who they were. But this crippled beggar was carried faithfully to the temple every day. One day that all of a sudden became an extraordinary day. But the interesting thing is when we ask the question, we say, well, he'd been carried there from birth. But how old was he? How long had he been there? Well, in Acts chapter 4 and verse 22, we get the answer. It says here, for the man who was miraculously healed was over 40 years old. For 40 years, the people had went to the temple three times a day and salved their conscience by dropping a copper or two, but chose not to engage with the crippled beggar and his needs, his spiritual needs. Every picture does tell a story. And we can take from that story what we like. We can take from that story the things that resonate with us, the things that challenge us. Or we can choose to look at the story and think, that's a wonderful picture of a situation long ago. But every picture tells a story. This particular story is as relevant today as it was then. The work of MAF works in this principle. We see people as individuals. This church has got a tremendous heritage of mission. And I'm sure that over the years you have seen lives transformed, both here and overseas. And I'm sure that you have seen many pictures change just because you have chosen to engage with them. MAF have been blessed over this last week. I don't know how many kids we've had in here. We've had at least 500 from the primary schools. We've had the girls' brigade in. We had a wonderful night on Friday night and then all day yesterday. So many people came here to engage, and every picture tells a story. But I want to ask you today, what stories are in your life? What opportunities are sitting right in front of you. I want to encourage you and almost challenge you to scrape at the surface and see what the real need is in the stories and in the pictures in your lives. And I'm sure as you do that, you will have an opportunity to make someone's ordinary day, their one day, into something quite extraordinary. If only to that step forward and avail yourself of the power that God willingly wants to pour into your lives so that you can pour it into the lives of those who come across your path. Let's pray. Our Lord and Heavenly Father, again we do thank you for the power and the authority of your word. And we pray, Father God, that you will pour into our lives the gift of the Holy Spirit that sustains and equips us and enables us to do the things that you have laid in advance for us. I pray, Heavenly Father, that these situations that come across our path, Father, that we would walk with a boldness and a courage that goes beyond our own understanding so that we can see one day's become extraordinary days. So be with us this day, Father. Fill us to overflowing with your Spirit, because we ask these things for your glory and in your name. Amen.